This is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
3, 2, 1.
And now, Sci-Fi for Me presents Sonia Rodriguez.
That is literally the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Jason Hunt.
If you're looking for trouble, I'll accommodate you.
This is Sci-Fi XY.
Welcome, everyone, to this episode of Sci-Fi XY. My name is Jason Hunt.
I am Sonia Rodriguez.
And I have to own up to an error before we start on our discussion this time. I think on our last episode, I think I said it was the next to last episode, and that was not right. This is our next to last episode, at least for now.
Your best friend teaches math. You have a counting problem?
I leave you to count. That's your job. You get to count. I just sit here and look pretty, right?
Yeah, okay.
Right. So, the discussion has been, you know, we've gotten a request to do more episodes, and we are going to be looking at doing some additional material, but with the school year starting up, we're going to have to do some adjusting on just how many we can record in any given time. So after our 11th episode, as far as the regular weekly schedule, that's going to go away for a while for the time being.
Not too long.
Yeah, well, we'll come back and do some special episodes. And in the meantime, you can see us discuss our thoughts on the Game Show Network's new competition reality show called Steampunked. We just started watching that. That started this week, and so we've taken it upon ourselves to discuss it in writing. It's not a podcast. It's a little bit easier for us to do just to type the words that we say, and so you can find that over at scififorme.com. Every week where there's a new episode, I think there's going to be 10. So that'll carry us through, and then I think we're going to
do a... Are you sure? Did you count them?
I have not yet. But there's 10 competitors, so...
True.
I'm guessing 10, you know, 10 for 10. Little math there. But yeah, somewhere along the way in there, I think we're going to do a special episode of the podcast discussing that show, probably when it wraps up. So just a little programming notes there. To give you something to look forward to. And yes, there goes my email sounding. So let's get to the conversation at hand. Because this is something that came up when Sonia and I were talking about some different shows that were on the air. And you mentioned The Strain. We're just talking about this. The fact that your husband watches it.
Right.
And you were sitting there. You tell the story better than I do.
Well, the show is gory. It's gory, and it gives me nightmares. It really does. It gives me nightmares. I always have bad dreams every time I watch the show. And it was my husband and I. We bargain for our time because of the fact that, you know, there's so many television shows out there right now, and we can't watch them all, but the shows that we do want to watch, we want to watch them together so that way we're doing things together. And so the bargain was that if he watched The Last Ship with me, that I would watch The Strain with him.
Now,
I can't watch The Strain
out
anymore. It was just, it's just really, really gory. When I finally asked my husband why he enjoyed the show so much, I mean, he told me that it reminded him of horror, 1930s, 40s horror, mm-hmm. You know, black and white. You know, I can't keep up with the stories because there's no story.
Right.
And there might be. I shouldn't say that. There might be a good story there, but I can't follow it because of the gore that's happening.
Right. Now, for those who may not know about the show, this is a show from Guillermo del Toro, and it's on the FX network, and it is basically a story about an epidemic of biological
weapons?
It's
an epidemic. It's a the shows that are coming out now are all about the apocalypse. You know, zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
So what happens is they get this illness and they become zombies. Or
like you do.
Yeah. and so, you know, it's another type of that, but there's no character building. Every time I've seen the show, there's not a continuing character that really drives the show. I mean, I'm literally turning to my husband asking him, and who's this guy? And who's this person? Because they're constantly branching off on different tangents of storylines. And it's all about the gore. That's the story, to see how gross and ugly it can get.
Yeah.
And you know, I guess it came about because of the fact that in real, everything, art reflects real life. I mean, in the 80s, there was the AIDS, and there's no cure from that. You know, back then,
right?
You died. You got AIDS, you died. And it wasn't a die peacefully in your sleep. It was this horrible thing that happened to you. You wasted away. So, you know, and then the Ebola scare and what else? Help me.
West Nile virus, the
tons of things that where you get these things, there's no cure and you die.
Yeah.
But you don't just die. You die a horrible wasting away kind of death.
Yeah.
So of course art imitates life, and they've all gotten on this bandwagon and they've just all added the zombie part because zombies are cool.
Well, and the 80s were really about that kind of thing. I mean, there was a lot of that. The zombie movies were really, really popular back then. You had the drive-in theater type of schlock B movie stuff. Things that Joe Bob Briggs would like. You know, it's stuff like that. And
yeah, and it's like that. It's sometimes I even told that to Israel. It's like It's like a B show of The Walking Dead, because The Walking Dead is a very good, and it's got a lot of character development. And, you know, of course, people would probably call me a hypocrite because I love The Walking Dead. I love that show. It's got a lot of character development in the zombies and all the grotesque stuff that happens on The Walking Dead. I can't take that stuff either. I turn my head away. I don't watch it. But there's not so much of it that it takes up the entire show.
Yeah.
There is more to the show than just the zombies and the killing. There's, you know.
Well, I think too that given the fact that Walking Dead was based on a comic book, you already have some established plot lines and character arcs that are essential to comic books, because you can't do big visual effects, extravaganza action sequences on paper.
Yeah. It gets pretty gruesome there too. I mean, it's about an epidemic, and they get this disease and they're bleeding out of their eyes and it's a quick death, but it's pretty gruesome death.
Yeah.
So you get into this. I don't like that. It's kind of the part of genre, and that's what we're discussing, is the parts of genre we don't like. And yeah, that's what I don't like. I don't like the core.
Well, that brings us to our main piece of this, where we talk about, you know, let's ask the question: what happens when you don't like something that everybody else likes? When you're talking genre, because there are people out there, sad to say, who don't like Doctor Who. There are some people out there who don't get Star Trek. And there's the occasional rare bird that doesn't like Star Wars.
Oh, I've got several of those people. I have one in my immediate family. My youngest son,
Yes.
He does not like Star Wars. He won't sit and watch it. He's sat and watched it because it was a family time and family night, but it's neither here nor there for him. He could go his whole life without seeing another Star Wars movie.
Well, and we've
and he's had, my child.
Yeah. Well, and we've had some people here. Allie Ulrich, our intern for the summer, has seen the Star Wars movies, but you know it's a passing familiarity for her. So there are those people out there. And it's not just Star Wars. There's people who've never seen an episode of Star Trek. They don't know Stargate. You know, all of these different franchises that are out there. Some people just don't like them. So what do you do? How does when fandom is not quite, you know, when you're not in line with fandom, what does that do? And how do you handle that, both as the person who sits there and goes, I don't like this, and then how do you handle that if you run across a person who doesn't like it? And I think this goes to some of the online behavior that we see nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff that probably would not have been as noticeable and prominent when fan groups just had the fanzines you printed out with the mimeograph and you mailed them in the mail. Now everything's online, so it's all immediate and it's all global, and you have so much more access to everybody's opinion, whether you want it or not. So when somebody sits there and says, well, I don't really like Doctor Who, they just get piled on. How can you not like Doctor Who? Oh, the travesty! You know, or I don't like Peter Capaldi, or I don't like Matt Smith. You know, how many people love David Tennant as the Doctor. Mm-hmm. And when Matt Smith came on, they were like, oh, what is this? And everybody loved Matt Smith, and then Peter Capaldi comes in, oh, my God, he's so old. Not realizing that Peter Capaldi is probably more like the classic Doctors than anybody else that's played him since the show came back in 2005. And then you get people out there like me who don't really care for the prequel trilogy in the Star Wars franchise. You know, you've got the people who hate Jar Jar Binks with a passion.
Yeah.
You know, there's all of this. There's all of this, you know, back and forth.
I think we have to find the common ground where things you do like. I think that's what makes it where you can find that happy ground where you can find something that you like.
Yeah.
Or you can put up with the stuff that you don't like. Now, with The Strain, I tried to put up with it. I did. I tried. I just couldn't. And, you know, when I thought he was going to let the last ship go because I wasn't holding up my end of the bargain, what won it over was because he truly enjoyed it. You know, I'll watch it with you. I really like that show. That show's really good. I'm like, all right. Okay. So I guess you just have to find the commonalities that you like, or, you know, there's always the convincing. I mean, you're trying to convince me to like steampunk. I hadn't even heard of it. I didn't know what it was about.
I haven't said you have to like steampunk.
I didn't like it.
I haven't said you have to like it.
But I'm giving it a shot. I'm watching the show with you because sometimes you have to just give things a chance.
Well, and in that particular case, I mean, that's just something for us to do that doesn't take as much. It's not as complicated to put together as a podcast that, you know, given our schedules and time and stuff.
Yeah, and I'm withholding my final decision on steampunk, that whole part of the genre, whether I like it or not. Well, I still haven't made a decision of whether or not I like it.
And I'm going to tell you right now that based on the Game Show Network, that is not... That should not be the end-all, be-all example for you to base an opinion on. It's just not. And for those of you who haven't read our discussion of the first episode yet, there are quite a bit of things in that first episode where people said, yeah, we love steampunk, and we're doing these designs, and we're all these people, all these makers in the steampunk community, and they trick out this room. And neither one of them really demonstrated a whole lot of the steampunk aesthetic. So I'm sitting there thinking, do you know what steampunk really is? Because this room doesn't say that. So I'm hoping that it gets better, but
yeah, and it turns into the, you just got to be nice. You got one person screaming at the top of their lungs what they feel is what something is, and then you got the other person screaming at the top of their lungs. I mean, what? I mean, it's really, really, really. You know this about me. It's very hard to change somebody's opinion.
It's I don't really know what you're talking about.
And that the person has to be willing to change.
Well, you got to be open-minded about it, especially
if
it's something
if
that's
you're
brand
not,
new.
Then
if,
give, you know, there's, and you can tell right off the bat whether a person is going to, you know, give or try or not.
I have this conversation frequently with my son when we go to sit and watch something. When I, you know, hey, let's watch X and so title. Let's watch this movie. Let's watch, you know, Journey to the Center of the Earth. Let's watch King Kong. Let's, you know, let's watch The Lost World. And, you know, I'm finding old classic movies to sit and watch with him. And he, you know, I get a look. like you get from the kid who, you know, because they know more than the grown-ups do. Kids always know more than the grown-ups do, right? And they know what they like and they know what they don't like.
Right.
Even though they have never experienced one or the other. So, you know, of course I get the side eye, you know, and I was like, nah, just give it a chance. Let's watch the show. So we sit and we watch the movie, you know, The Invisible Man or anything like that. And at the end of the movie, when it's done and we're finished watching it, he realizes that he enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Even though he's not really coming into it with an open mind as much as he should. But, you know, for the most part, he's enjoyed these movies. I remember one in particular, we watched Buckaroo Banzai. And the first time we watched it, he didn't really get into it. He didn't really care for it. And I don't know what it was the first time
probably
around.
Youth. But he was probably too young.
It was that.
You have to understand that
attitude or
children
whatever.
Children are easier to mold and sway than adults are. Adults are much harder.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So I wouldn't doubt that, you know, you'd have more success with a child than you would with an adult.
Well, and he liked it the second time we watched it.
Yeah.
Which is really, it was odd because, you know, he'd start asking questions. And that's when you know you've got him. He's like, no, wait. I read somewhere, somebody, oh, I don't remember who it was, on Facebook. It ran across my feed on Facebook one time. A guy is talking about, he's got a daughter, young, 8, 9 years old. No interest in Star Wars whatsoever at all. Right? And so he puts the first Star Wars movie in the player, and he goes to the point where Darth Vader is about to come in with the interrogation droid. And now, Your Highness, we will discuss your, you know, that one when she's in the jail cell and he's about to torture her. And he just puts it on pause and waits until she comes through the room. Well, what's that? Oh, it's Star Wars. You're not interested in that. Yeah. Who is she? Oh, she's nobody you're interested in. What is no, go ahead and play. And wait a minute. What is that? Oh, he's going to torture her. What? And he's like, as soon as she starts asking questions, you know, they're hooked. Because now they're watching. Now they're interested. Now they want to know what happens next. And that's how we need to approach new fans, people who are just kind of dipping their toe into a franchise or a genre, or it's like, I don't know if I'm going to like this or not. We don't need to go in there and say, oh, you're going to love this. Look at this, look at this, and look at this, and look at this, and read this, and read this, and read this, and this, and this, and this. And you know, you just slam them with all of this material, and it just gets overwhelming.
Yeah.
There are
and then,
how many Star Trek books? I can't read them all. There are how many, you know, Doctor Who has so many radio plays. And, you know, it's been on for how long? It's been on for 50 years? I can't watch all of that. And people sit there and they freak out because there's so much. Right. There's so much to take in.
I think another part of, or another aspect of it is that when you've hit your personal limit, you know, like The Strain, I think I hit my personal limit on the first show, but, you know, I kind of dredged on for the heavy.
That says a lot.
But sometimes even shows that I love, that I really, really love, like Walking Dead, man, I hit my personal limit. They've dwelled into some concepts that are like, whoa, did that just happen? You know, and it will give me nightmares because it's just the content is so...
it's visceral.
Yeah, and you end up with this internal struggle. You know, should I even be watching this because of, and I know we're not going to get into this, but, you know, there's religious aspects to it and how your upbringing and what you were told that is proper to watch and what you shouldn't be watching. And you start messing with that in your head and, you know, you don't know. But the show is so good. You got to keep watching. So it gets to that point where you're having this internal struggle about whether you like this show and whether you should like this show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I think there's a certain degree of that for a lot of people.
Yeah. Also, you know, Game of Thrones is up there too. There's a lot of online discussion that you read about how, you know, it goes too far that, you know, most people, it's a show that you shouldn't be watching because it goes too far into the stuff that's happening, but it's just so good. And it feeds on that, you know, kind of, I don't know, what's the word? Feeds on that stuff that you shouldn't and wouldn't do in real life. But it's somebody else is doing it on TV and it's not real and God darn it's good.
Yeah, you know? Well, there is some voyeuristic aspects to it, but there's also a recognition of craft.
Right.
You know, I can sit and I can see something that's well written and well performed and not like it, but I can still appreciate the craft that goes into it.
Right.
You know, Man of Steel is a good example of that because there is quite a bit of that where I recognize skills in putting this movie together, even though I hated the movie, it's the same kind of thing.
The Tron movies. I mean, I could appreciate all the special effects and how cool it looked, but I didn't like it. You know, I those were a one-time watch for me. Yeah. I watched it because it was genre.
Well, and I think the moral aspects of it too. You can there. You're right. It is one of those things where you start to get out on the edge of, you know, what's appropriate and what's not. And for those of you who have any kind of a faith that you practice, that is a question.
Yeah. You
know, when should you stop watching a show? When, you know, how much do you recognize that a show is appropriate or not? And if it's not appropriate, based on what your belief system is, why do you still watch it?
So it gets into the fact that, okay, you may not like it just because you don't like it, and then you may not like it because it creates a conflict that you just don't want to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that happened with that one show. Oh, I can't even think of it now. It slipped my mind. I had told you about it. It had Michael Chiklis in it.
Oh, The Shield.
The Shield.
Yeah.
My goodness, that show was really good. Until it wasn't for me.
Yeah.
And that's how I always tell people, because when people talk about The Shield to me, they're like, man, you were such a big fan. It was good. And I said, yeah, it was good until it wasn't. And they're like, it was always good. I said, not for me.
Yeah.
It got not good for me. So I had to stop watching it because it gets to be too much. You know, and I don't want to say I'm a weak person, but that's just too much to think about. And it goes to the fact that this is all entertainment. Once you're not entertained anymore, you're done. And I think that's what people are trying to say, that if they don't like certain aspects of the genre, it's because it's not entertaining.
Yeah, well, and
they
that can,
are not entertained
that,
by it.
Yeah, and that can apply to, you know, if even if you get to these people, you know, not necessarily always the moral issue, but if you get somebody who comes to like Fantastic Four being a good example of that, where you have the expectations that this movie is going to be the characters that were created in 1961 and not the ultimate version, you know, there's an expectation there. And or you mess with the origin story for Superman.
Right, yes.
Or you
well, and that's
do
what
something
they kinda
completely
did with,
different with
Star Trek
yeah.
for you.
Yes, exactly.
New ones because they
exactly.
just they messed with it too much, so it's not I mean,
it's not even Star
I mean,
Trek.
You go into the movie and you're just mad. That's not
yeah.
entertaining.
No, I know. I know. I sit there and go, that's not right.
It didn't make me
right.
mad. I was entertained by those movies.
Yeah.
You were flat out mad.
I did.
How
oh,
is that
I
entertainment
hated,
for you?
Hated
so, no, you're going to reject them.
Yeah.
You know, of course. And the way you deal with that is, you know, hey, that's your thing. You can reject them. Several people have rejected. And you know what? The franchise is doing just fine.
Oh, it is.
Without,
it is.
You know, without. And that's always my, and I know you hate that response. I said, you know, they don't need you. They're
no,
doing
they don't.
Just fine without you watching the movie.
Well, and
you know what?
Paramount.
The strain is going to do just fine without me watching it.
Yeah. And it was yeah. funny. I go back to an article that we saw. After the first Star Trek, the first J.J. Trek came out, there was a Paramount executive who remained anonymous but got quoted as saying, well, it may have been more recent than that. I may be talking about this new one, Star Trek 13, where they were saying, make it less Star Trek. You know, they want it more action adventure. Rick'em Rock'em, you know, roller coaster stuff, and less.
Well, yeah,
because
that's
Trek.
Where that's going. Because when you look at the genre, I don't know what they're called within the genre, because you have so much that's within the genre.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at the stuff where the epidemic happens.
Yeah,
that more gore, and you look at the space aspect, and you look at that movie that came out with Kunis. And
Mila Kunis, yeah, Jupiter Ascending.
Jupiter Ascending, you know, that same sort of just as fast as you can.
Well, Transformers.
Yeah,
you know, it's action set, action set, action set, action set. Let's show off our visual
where that's
effects.
Going. Then you got the epidemic where it's make it as gory as possible, mm-hmm. and then you got the Star Treks and the Star Wars and all those space type of movies where it's like blow things up every chance you get.
Yeah.
It's like they have it on a timer.
Now I am encouraged a little bit because Drew Struzan, he's an artist who was retired now, but he did. All of the movie posters, all the famous movie posters that you remember from the 80s, Goonies, Raiders of the Lost Ark,
right.
The Star Wars trilogy, Back to the Future, all of those, I mean, the classic ones that you remember all the time, those painted art, I mean, there's works of art. There's a dinging tone there. but they got him to come out of retirement to do the artwork for the Force Awakens posters.
Right.
And he's seen at least the first half of the new movie. And he says this could very well be the best Star Wars movie you've seen yet.
Oh, wow.
Which I'm thinking, okay, if JJ would say something like that, I'm just going to, yeah, sure, whatever. But this is Drew Struzan, who's been involved from way back.
Right.
You know, this is, you know, Lawrence Kasdan is involved in this project. John Williams is back. You know, Kathleen Kennedy is involved. So when somebody like Struzan sits there and says that, I'm going to notice. And hopefully the fans that, you know, are still kind of on the fence because it's J.J. Abrams and he ruined Star Trek, you know, they're going to give this movie a little bit of shame. I mean, it's Star Wars. It's going to make $3 billion first weekend anyway.
I was
anyway.
Going to say, they don't need those people on the fence. They're going
right.
to do just fine.
Yeah.
but as a person in the genre, like you said, you always want everybody to try it out.
Yeah.
You know, you want everybody to say, you know, hey, look at it. At least look at it. I, you know, I didn't know what steampunk was. I didn't know. I didn't care. I saw it. But I'm trying. I tried with The Strain. My husband asked me to watch it. He wanted to see it. I tried. And it's, no, I can't.
Yeah.
You know, so I think, you know, if you have the time and the inclination and both of those, and of course, you know, it's not really fair because the two people that asked me, you know, my husband, yeah, he asked me. Of course, I'm going to try for him. My best friend, of course. Yeah. Okay. I'll give it a shot. It's my best. These are people that I care about and I respect their opinions.
Right.
Anybody else, they come up to me and tell me to do something. I'm like, I don't like that.
Well,
you're not worth my time.
And on the flip side of that, you know, if you don't like something, if there's something, or if you run across somebody, I'm going to encourage our listeners to be this way and encourage others to do this. If you come across someone,
sweet yeah, way.
don't be a hater if somebody doesn't like
don't
what you like.
Hater.
I mean, really, come on, right?
Exactly. Don't be a hater right
What is it?
That.
Shake it off, right?
You're so right. Yeah.
Because, you know, there is room, you know, the science fiction fandom especially is a big tent. And there are
there's
a lot of
everybody.
There's room for everybody. There's room for people to like something.
And if you just want to stand
like
in your own little section of the tent, that's fine too.
Yes. It is. And we won't bother you. You want to stand over in the corner, go stand over in the corner, and everything is going to be fine.
Because I stood in the fantasy corner for a very, very long time.
Mm-hmm.
Space and fantasy, that was it.
And that's perfectly fine. And those of you who still think that zombies sparkle, it's okay. You'll learn. But in the meantime, we put up with those people, right? We
yes.
let them we
and
let
the
them
meantime,
live in our tent.
And in the meantime, go watch Blade Runner to make, you know, to go see how, according to my husband, real vampires are. Or not Blade Runner,
not
just
Blade.
Blade?
Yes.
Blade. Yes, thank you. Thank you for the correction.
Blade.
Yes, go watch Blade to see how real vampires are, according to my husband.
Yes, Blade, Nosferatu,
people.
Dracula.
Yeah, Dracula.
And really, you know, Francis Ford
and
Coppola.
And I do like the Dracula movies. I do like them.
Yeah, Francis Ford Coppola did a pretty good Dracula movie.
Oh,
that was,
yes.
That was
we saw it the
good.
Other night. Very good movie.
And the original with Bela Lugosi. You can always go see that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And
lots
I like
of good
them.
Ones.
But I also like the sparkly vampire, too.
Okay. If that's what you like.
And you don't. And there we are.
It's a matter of taste. Okay, so... For those of you who are listening, if you would like to comment or share your thoughts on this or any other topic that we've discussed, you can send us an email, scifixy@scififorme.com. We are also on all of the social media, so Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest, Google+, YouTube, Tumblr. And we have a hotline. It's area code 573-42-SCIFI. You can always leave a comment on our main site, which is scififorme.com, where we post the news of the day on a fairly regular basis, almost daily. We've got the latest headlines over there. And in the meantime...
Don't forget to read our review for Steampunked.
Yes, yes. Read our review for Steampunked, which is showing on the Game Show Network on Wednesday nights. We're going to watch it. We're going to talk about it, and we will share those thoughts with you. And you can listen to one more episode of Sci-Fi XY here in the meantime. After that, plenty of other podcasts to listen to here on Sci-Fi for Me Radio. We hope you join us for all of those. And we're going to be recapping a number of shows here for the fall season. So be checking with us early and often. And we will be back with another episode of Sci-Fi XY.
One more episode.
One more episode. And next week, my name is Jason Hunt.
I am Sonia Rodriguez.
And we will be back.
Next time.
This has been a presentation of SciFiForMe.com. Copyright 2015 by Flaming Dog Media, LLC. All rights reserved. No portion of this program may be retransmitted without the express written consent of Flaming Dog Media. This is Sci-Fi For Me Radio.